when I travel with Brother Brian Reynolds and we find water next to the pulpit, he always whispers to me, so they expect a dry speaker. I'm very thankful for the water. I have on my heart a few passages from the scripture that fit very well with what Andrea proposed to us to sing. May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day. By his love and power controlling all I do and say. Before opening the scripture, I do need to share this because Andrea, my friend, Andrei, shared something with us, and I think it's good to share with you. And it fits our context. A dear sister was going to a congregation, and after a few months there, the minister went to her and said, "So how is it? Do you understand?" And she said, "No, I'm confused." And then he said, "You know what? I know a congregation just across the street. They call Brethren. Please go there and listen to the word." So she went, and then some weeks later, they meet again, and he's asking, "So how is it? Is it better?" And she says, "I am still confused, but at a different level." I hope that will not be the case at the end of this message. I just hope and trust that the Lord will open the word and will bring it in simplicity to all of us. And I trust that, Brother Derek, if I forget someone, I leave someone out, please have the liberty and come up and address whoever I left out. My desire is to encompass all. The saints in Bucharest that gather on the street, Dr. Felix, convey their love and greetings to the saints in UK. I forgot to say this morning, but it's even better now, and yesterday also, because we are almost in the same formula, which is really nice to see. I would like to open the scripture now in the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. First of all, Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 13, and I'll read till verse 16. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." From the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. Last verse in this chapter, verse 50. Mark 9, verse 50. "Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another." And the last passage, Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how to how ye ought to answer every man. It is on my heart to encourage each one of us present in the room here, using these passages that are well known to all of us who read the scripture. I would like, first of all, to encourage the younger ones in the room to read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. This is where you'll find what is called the Sermon on the Mount. It is a wonderful message, full of challenges for all of us. I encourage also the older ones in the room to read again Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's a wonderful message that will indeed encourage our hearts, as we have heard in the prayer, to follow more faithfully the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a lot of misunderstanding about this passage. Some use it as a gospel meme. This passage is not for someone who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. The Sermon on the Mount is not for unbelieving men. Another difficult or wrong way in which it's sometimes interpreted, some people say it is only for Israel, either for the disciples, either for the future remnant. And again, this is I think, a wrong interpretation of this passage. I believe, and I will say it in simple words, that here we find, as someone said, the constitution of the kingdom. The constitution of the disciple who wants to follow faithfully the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, indeed, it is not addressed directly to us, but we cannot be left out. Anyone who is in this room and wants to follow faithfully the Lord Jesus Christ will find in this message from Matthew 5 to 7 wonderful exhortations, things to be put to heart, and otherwise, and after asked to be put in practice. This is what we spoke of yesterday. 1 Timothy chapter 6, if I'm not wrong, the sound words of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are words that come directly from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone at the end of this message said, observe the huge difference in between their teachers and this carpenter, that he spoke with authority. For the ones who try to organize a bit their ideas, I thought of a 4P. Four things that start with the letter P, which I would like to touch in this first passage. The first one is presupposition. Maybe it's a difficult word for some people. What does it mean, presupposition? The words that the Lord Jesus expressed here, consider that a certain state was there before. When he said, you are the light, that means the ones who were addressed, you are the light, were in a context that was dark, or you are the salt. The Lord Jesus knew that this exhortation is for people who live in an environment that is touched heavily by decay and corruption. So this will be the first letter, presupposition. The second one, starting with P, is a plan. A plan. What is the plan of God in regards to this presupposition? The third letter is a problem. Problem. And we will see what the problem is. There is a high risk. Okay, I'm not going to say high. There is a risk that we fail in our testimonies as disciples. That is the problem. And the last word that starts with P is purpose. Purpose. So we have presupposition, we have plan, we have a problem, and we have a plan. Now, the Lord Jesus doesn't say, You have to be. That's what we read. He doesn't say in verse 13, you have to be the salt of the earth. He doesn't say you have to be the light of the world. And I hope we saw the difference. He says the salt of the earth and the light of the world. It's not the same thing. Although it might seem the same, it's different. And I'll try in simple words to say what I believe this means. Why salt of the earth and light of the world? There are, in these two expressions, I at least two directions or two principles. One is the principle of righteousness. Salt. Who preserves or retards the corruption. Delays a process of corruption to advance at a fast rate. That's the principle of righteousness. And then the light of the world is a different principle, and that is the principle of grace. We not only have to live in a way that we retard the corruption, but we also have to shine out, to announce to an ignorant world the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a principle of grace. People around us are in ignorance. Although we live in countries that are called generally Christian. More and more we see with sadness in the heart the heavy departure from the sound principles of the scripture. And probably you here in the West know more than us in the East, but it's coming at a fast rate also towards us. People putting aside the Christian, the roots of the gospel, the principles of the kingdom are put aside, and decay and darkness are coming in. But it's really important to understand we are not called to be something. He says, you are the salt. And the key word, and it's a simple word for every single one of us, is influence or perfume. I read of, probably some of you know, of Andrew Murray and his influence on his family. He had 11 children, 6 boys and 5 girls. 5 of the boys became ministers. 4 of the girls were wives of ministers. Now the next generation, generation number 3, 10 of his grandchildren, ministers of the Word of God. 13, so 10 plus 13, 13 of them missionaries. Wonderful. When you hear such an influence passing from a generation to another generation, you think this man, I'm talking about him, definitely has influenced not only the generation that's coming after him, but even his grandchildren were walking the same path as they have seen their grandfather presenting Christ before them. And I am sure that he's not the only case. That there are people in this world, from all over the world, who have such a wonderful, positive influence around them. And this is what the Lord says here. You are the salt of the earth. We supposed to have an influence, and I'll repeat this, that delays, that stops the corruption that is around us. We all know that this earth will be judged. We all know that. We have an example in the Old Testament where God came in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and judged with fire. This will happen again, Peter tells us in his second epistle, but not only 2 cities. The entire earth will be judged by fire God announces that from beforehand. So there is no way we can stop the corruption, but we can delay, we can negate its influence in the positions of life where we are. And now, I come to the expression, you are the salt of the earth. I believe, it was suggested to me, and I think it's correct, that earth speaks of the circle of profession, where people profess what? The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or in this case, they are in that circle where they are the only nation on earth at that time in an exterior, external, privileged position with God, Israel. Unfortunately, for them, it happened what the Lord Jesus Christ said here. If the salt loses its taste, will be trodden by foot. And in Luke chapter, I think, 21, the Lord Jesus said, Jerusalem will be trodden by the nations. They have failed in what used to be for them a mission of being a testimony to the entire world. They have failed in that. Now the challenge for each one of us is to be faithful in this territory where people confess the Lord Jesus Christ. That would be one aspect. And I would like to address now another aspect, that is, earth can mean also the territory where we are in relationships one with another as presented by God in the scripture. We are heavenly people, but I think we have earthly also responsibilities. We are in different relationships. Even in this room right now, we are husbands and wives. We are parents and children. And this is a call, this is a challenge, to be a salt in this territory. And now maybe someone is asking, how can I be salt? How can I be someone who delays the corruption that is around me? Maybe one of the young people here is asking this question. How can a teenager, how can someone that is 10, 11, 12, 16, 18, how can he or she be salt in this relationship, for example, with the parents? I know it's a sensitive topic. We in Bucharest are planning a conference, which is called Why I Don't Get Along with My Parents. I have to confess that as a teenager, I was a really difficult child. Extremely difficult. I'm not saying to boast, it's just it was a reality. I loved, I adored. Football was an idol for me. And my father said, no football, you go to school. And for that reason, I was in an ongoing conflict with him and with everything that he represented. Maybe you are in the room, dear young people. Maybe you don't have conflicts with your parents on the sport line, like I did. But maybe, you know, you're saying, I wish that maybe have different parents. I wish that they will understand me better. I think my parents are outdated, old, without experience. I hear this from my nephews. Ah, Uncle Emma, you lived in another time. We live in different times. You're a bit narrow-minded. Really? So these are things that go in the head. Yeah? And you go to school, and there you have friends. Yeah? You have colleagues. And maybe one of them is coming and saying, come on, let's go do something. And you maybe have the courage, and this is the salt part, to say, I don't think my parents would like me to go there. And that will be, what? You still listening to your parents? What? How old are you? It's extremely important when in a corrupt environment, someone says or someone displays a wonderful relationship. Parents are the authority of the children. And I have to confess that until an old age, I lost a lot of blessings because I was not listening to my parents. After I turned to the Lord, I was 24. I turned to the Lord, and suddenly I started to see my parents differently. The way, like I said, wow, my father is a wonderful man. My mom is like I'm discovering new people next to me. But I started to listen to them when I was 27. From 24 to 27, I didn't have conflicts then. But my mom said at one point, why not going this path? And I was very upset. But I said, okay, I'll do what she says. By today, I'm thankful to the Lord. Because my life has changed completely in a good way when I actually started to listen to their advices. And I said, why I didn't start before? Why did I lose so much time? But you see, when a teenager, when a young person is honoring the parents, that's immediately salt in the environment that person lives. Because this is what is not practiced around us. Teenagers are encouraged to do what? To not listen, to rebel, to talk back, to not show honor to the parents. And this is an environment that even without words, no one is going to come every day and say, don't listen to your parents, don't listen to your parents, don't honor your parents. No, but this is what everybody does. And then at one point you feel, this is the norm. No, this is not the norm. The Lord Jesus says to every young person in the room who's born again, who's a disciple of Christ, you are the salt. In your classroom, you are the salt. People look at you and say, wow. Respect to the parents. Honor to the parents, to the teachers. For some of you that don't know, I was a teacher in a private school in Bucharest. And I remember I had a colleague from UK. His name was David. And we spent some time together and I asked him, David, did you teach? He said he was a teacher here in UK. And he said, yes, I taught a few months. And then I resigned. And I said, why? Look at these teenagers. They are wonderful creatures. A bit monsters, a bit wonderful the next second. I mean, what's best not to spend your life with them? And he said, you don't know what's in the school in England. It just came to my mind. And this is years ago. I don't know what's in the schools in England now, but I know that some of you are in those schools. And you can be a salt there, where no respect to the teachers, no respect to authorities. And this happens all over the world. Why? Because people are going away from the constitution of the disciple. Yes, when I told my first employer, he said, so why did you quit football? I play football. I get money out of football. And then I quit because, again, my mom. Go, you finish your university, you have to teach now. And he asked me, he was very curious, I was 27. So why did you quit so early? I said, I listened to my mom. He looked at me and said, like, how old are you? I said, 27. But I got the job. This is how I started. He was a bit shocked, but the Lord gave me the grace to have the courage. Should I give you my mom's phone number? She's behind this. Yeah, but it's wonderful. To listen to parents is a blessing. Although sometimes I know the struggle, come on, this can be done different and so on and so on. Just go under the authority, and then if it doesn't work, I'll leave you my email and write back and say, it doesn't function. I don't think I'll get any email. Because this is a blessing. It's the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I move toward another relation, wonderful relationship. The one of marriage, but especially the one before marriage. I read about a young sister who was working in an office, and she was extremely excited about the wedding that was coming. And she was happy, and she was telling everyone how happy she is and how she's gonna move in at one point with her fiancé and with her husband, and everybody, you know, laughing at her. What? You're not living together? Why are you so excited about this? And then one of the other persons in the office said, while the others were mocking our sister of being, you know, so narrow-minded, everybody does this the other way, why do you go this way? And she said, you're laughing in vain. You all want to be in her place. You all want to be like her. You're laughing in vain. Complete silence. This is the reality. Yes, there will be mocking. But for the one who stands like a salt in a world where relationships, 3 months out, 4 months out, 5 months out. I remember I was sitting with one of my students and I was trying to reach his heart from Spain. Very handsome. All girls wanted to be his girlfriend. And I have a bottle of water. And I say, Miguel, you see this bottle? This is like your heart. Every time you go into a relationship, you have a sip or two out of it. Now you're 14. He was 14 at that time. By 24, you're very handsome. You probably will get in numerous relationships. But remember, every time you drink, and you'll get up 24 and probably you'll meet a beautiful girl and you'll go in. And you say, oh yes, I want her to be my wife. But you'll go in with an empty bottle. And now pay attention. She will come in with an empty bottle. And both of you will expect from the other one, what? A sip of water. And there is nothing. Because only the Lord Jesus Christ can bring two people together, and I know there are brothers and sisters here who will agree with me on that. For two believers who keep themselves clean and come into a marriage relationship, by the time passes, we love more our wives. You know what happens in the world? Exactly the opposite. This is a miracle. Because our marriages, our relationships are giving water on by the Lord Jesus Christ. I love more my wife now than I used to 20 years ago. And I know it's the case of every single brother here. This is a miracle. By the time passes, we love more the people next to us. At least this should be the normality. Should be the normality. I'm more in love with my wife every single day. And this is salt in a world where this thing, what is marriage? This is an old-fashioned thing. No marriage. Or when someone, imagine in your class, you say, someone had this experience. I'm going to my grandparents' golden wedding. And everybody says, whoa, what is that? 50 years of marriage, and they go, what? Who stays in a relationship for 50 years? Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salt. Salt of the earth. And you see how the decay and the corruption can be delayed. I promise you, if you're not laughing, if we are not laughing at the bad jokes of our neighbors, working colleagues, and so on, they will stop talking dirty in our presence. They will stop doing that. Because they know without us threatening or warning, they will know that there is something that will will put aside such a behavior. This is where we are called, to be salt in these relationships. But then the Lord Jesus continues and says, you are not only the salt of the earth, but you are also the light of the world. And obviously, this is something wonderful, a responsibility for us to be a light in the darkness. In Philippians chapter 2, holding fast the word of life and being what? Lights. For who? For, he says, Paul says there, for a perverse generation. We can be like stars and point people to Christ. This is one of our wonderful meanings after we are saved. And you know, if we have this influence of the salt, people will listen to what we have to say. They will consider that. But obviously, this is something important, that in this corrupt environment and in this dark age, we are accomplishing, and this is the second letter, the plan of God. This is the plan of God, that men and women all over the world who follow the Lord Jesus faithfully are influencing the environment in which they are in a godly way. We spoke about godliness yesterday. To live before God and to live for God is the responsibility of each one of us. And this is a wonderful responsibility. And then he says here, now talking about light, I want to go to a passage in the Gospel of Luke, because I want to read there two things. Luke chapter 8. Brother Derek gave me by midnight. No, I'm joking. Luke chapter 8, verse 16. No man, he had lighted a candle, covered it with a vessel, or put it under a bed. Three things. Three obstacles in front of our testimony as a light. We read here of a vessel, a bed, and in the previous passage, bushel. How shall I pronounce it? Bushel. Bushel. Thank you. Bushel, bed, and vessel. A vessel in the scripture, we know that from 2 Timothy, who speaks of vessels of honor and dishonor. These are people, persons. So the first obstacle in front of the light, my person. I can be an obstacle in front of the light of the gospel to other people. Then the bushel and the bed speak of two other things. Bushel used, for trade, busyness, and the opposite, bed, speaks of laziness. So two things. I remember Andrea's story from yesterday with his boss who liked him to be occupied all the time and who almost gave him one day per week. So this is one thing that can stop our testimony, to be always occupied, absorbed, obsessed with our work. No time. No time for what? No time for prayer meeting. No time for Bible study. No time for fellowship. Why? I'm busy with good things. I need to feed my family. I need to take care of my wife. But you see, it's an extreme. I'm always busy and don't have the time to be a light for my unsaved colleagues. If I'm in a competition, I'm just presuming, in an office, in a workplace, with my unbelieving colleagues, like competition all day, I want to be before them. I want to be promoted. But they see not only that, a rival. They don't see a light. They see someone exactly like them. But if they see someone who is not observed, who's doing very well the job, but who's not obsessed. I propose myself, when I leave school, everything stays there. I don't take stuff at home. I want my life outside. The Lord gave me the grace to do that. But it's a purpose of heart. No, everything stops here. Otherwise, you have work all day long. And the other extreme, doing nothing. Doing nothing. Laziness, the bed. Seeking comfort all the time. What are you doing? I'm in a holiday. 2 weeks later, another holiday. Another one, and another one. I heard recently a brother who was kind of preaching against early retirement. I hope there is no one like that here. And he was saying, early retirement, what is that? At 40, I'm quoting the brother. At 40, you just stop being an idiot. And then in the most productive time of your life, you go on the beach. I think he was right. There is truth in what he said. He said it in quite an abrupt way, direct way, which fits at least me. And it's right. So, being busy all the time, or not doing anything all the time. Obstacles. Now, this is a sensitive topic when it comes about our persons, isn't it? I said at the beginning that I can be a hindrance to the light. The Lord Jesus Christ, He has never, and we touched yesterday this aspect, He has never attracted the attention of people to Himself intentionally. What did He do after He healed someone? All the time when the crowd will come, He will withdraw. Peter comes to Him one morning, Mark 1, comes to Him and says, all are looking for you. Wow! The best occasion for every preacher. A crowd waiting for you, what does the Lord say? Let's go in another village. He never wanted the attention of multitudes to Himself. And He could keep anyone for hours mouth open. And He didn't do it. So it's a danger. It's something we have to judge. Also, every single one of us. What can I do to attract people to Christ? I read of a believer who invited a friend of his to a gospel meeting, and at the end he asked, how was it? And the friend said, a wonderful preacher. 1 week later, or 2 weeks later, invites him again. Another brother coming in. Ask him again, how was it at the beginning, at the end of the meeting? Wonderful Christ. Big difference. Wonderful Christ. This is what we have to point people to. I'm going to quickly go in Mark, just to say one thing about the passage in Mark. Mark 9. Last verse. Again, the salt. Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. So we all understand the characteristic of the salt is to preserve, to keep corruption advanced. But here it says, have salt in yourselves and peace one with another. I would prefer to have peace in myself and salt with other people. Salt also stinges. And you know, here, I think is an encouragement, an exhortation to self-judgment. Salt to yourself. Not to someone else. What is our preferences? First, I want to correct someone. And if possible, to not be corrected ever. This is in us. But the order is very important. Salt in me. If I want to criticize someone harshly, I should start with myself. And when I'm done with myself, maybe there is no more energy to judge someone else. And we are very good in judging someone else, especially motivations. I don't understand this. Scripture is clear. You can't discern the motives of heart. Wait until the Lord Jesus comes. Let's not judge motivations of each other, because we don't know. We can judge right, rarely, and we can judge wrong most of the cases. But salt to me and to the others, peace. Imagine a local assembly in which every single person, brother or sister, salts himself or herself abundantly. How is then the relationship with the others going to be? Honey. I think. Honey. The last passage I read in Colossians. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Again, this is relationship not with our brothers and sisters, this is with them without, the unbelievers. And look what's on the first, what comes first when we have to share the gospel. It doesn't say first speak to them. He says walk in wisdom before them. People, as soon as they will know we take position for Christ, they will be very carefully looking at us without telling us. They will be extremely attentive to how we walk. And I'm sure the Lord will give us the wisdom to walk before them, so that then, he says, always with grace, seasoned with salt. So what's the first thing? Grace. The Lord Jesus in John 4 meets that thirsty soul at the well. And he opens first her heart. He speaks to her in grace. She's shocked because, first of all, a Jew is talking to her. Then not only he's talking, he's asking something. There is this wonderful discussion about water. The Lord Jesus promises living water that will make her satisfied. The spring will be not outside, but inside. And then the salt. Go call your husband. But you see, the heart was opened. He spoke in grace. But then, obviously, truth had to come. Go call your husband. And the first answer, I have no husband. And how gracious is he? Yes, you are right. The one who you live with right now is someone else's husband. But the end of the discussion is that she understands he is Messiah. She receives him as Messiah, drops the water pot, and then huge influence upon an entire city. She didn't say, maybe we are inclined to say, or maybe we are not inclined to say anymore, come to the meeting. She didn't say that. She said, come to see a man. What kind of man? A man who told me everything about my life, but not only that. And he loves me, he embraced me exactly where I was. He didn't send me to clean my life. He didn't send me to do something to be a better person, to have a better testimony before the city. He loves me and accepted me exactly where I am. This is the biggest need of young people, to feel loved and accepted. Dear young people, dear all, Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ is loving each and every single one of us, and is accepting and wants to embrace every single one of us. He's the only person who will never point to our past, but that will say, come with what? With my life as it is. Lord Jesus, I did so many wrong things. That is why I came for you. He seeks the people who have no value, who are criticized, put aside, isolated. This is where his heart goes. This is what happened to this lady. And she has found Christ. And others, she was a mean to bring others to Christ. Because she was a powerful testimony. A salt and a light. Her words were backed up by a changed life. The water pot was gone. The old way of life was gone. And everybody could see that, but most important, they have seen a happy soul. Everyone wants to be happy. Old, young, mature, everyone. And happiness can be found in Christ. Can be found only in Christ. He gives the accomplishment. You know, football doesn't give accomplishment. I tell you that. Nothing. But Christ gives the accomplishment. And whatever our affections and desires are, we will be disappointed. But when you meet Christ, when you have Him as your Savior, and He has you in His arms, then you know, hey, the goal of my life has been reached. I need nothing but Him. Let's put to heart this exhortation. We are the salt, but let's act like it. Because the problem is that we can lose our flavor by mixing with the things of this world. Let's be salty in the right way. Let's be a light for the ignorance around us. One word, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. He's a light for a dark soul. Let's have salt, a lot of salt, towards our direction and have peace to our brothers and sisters. Let's speak with grace first to our unbelieving friends. And yes, let's confront them in love also with the situation they live in. A bit of salt. And let's all of us look at Christ, occupy ourselves with Christ, and we will walk as disciples, put to heart all these exhortations, and act as heavenly people with true earthly responsibilities. May His name be glorified and our souls blessed by His eternal word. Amen. Amen.